Welcome to the Healthy Doctor Podcast, where we host conversations about physician well-being. I'm Dr. Steve Sartori, Director of the Center for Well-Being at the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education has had an increasing interest in the well-being of residents and has instituted requirements that mandate programmatic compliance with promoting the well-being of resident physicians. On this episode, I will be conversing with Dr. David Larson, a site visitor for the ACGME, and he will bring some insights into the development of a physician who experiences well-being. Dr. Larson is board certified in both otolaryngology and plastic surgery. He is professor emeritus at the Medical College of Wisconsin, where he served as professor and chairman of the Department of Plastic Surgery for 27 years. Prior to his appointment in Milwaukee, he was at MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas, in the Department of Head and Neck Surgery. Dr. Larson has a lifetime commitment to the education of medical students, residents, fellows, and peers, and has authored over 140 peer-reviewed articles, book chapters, and books. He has been on over a dozen mission trips to China, Lebanon, Macedonia, Azerbaijan, and Serbia, all related to education and graduate medical education. He is chairman of the Medical Education International Advisory Council and co-chair of the Christian Academic Physicians and Surgeons. He and his wife, Sherry, have three children. I'm looking forward to welcoming Dr. Larson to our conversation. David, welcome to this edition of the Healthy Doctor Podcast.
Thank you very much, Steve. It's a pleasure for me to be talking to you.
Well, I've been looking at some of the things you've been involved with, and it's been fun getting to know a little bit about you and now get to converse more in depth with you. You have a role with the ACGME, and I'm wondering how you came about to be in the current role and position you have.
Well, thank you. I was actually a fairly slow learner, so I had to do two residencies. I did a residency in ear, nose, and throat and a residency in plastic surgery way back in the 70s. And then I was on the faculty at MD Anderson for 7 years. And during that time, I was involved in the graduate medical education of fellows, and I had a fellow myself at that time. And then I went to the Medical College of Wisconsin, where I was program director of our training program in plastic surgery there for 20 years. And I was also chairman of the Department of Plastic Surgery. So it was only natural at the end of my academic career, as I was kind of slowing down from thinking in terms of retirement, that I had an opportunity to continue in graduate medical education, and now it's an encore career, or second career as I call it, that's part-time, and I'm a site visitor for one of 40 site visitors who do. We did in-person site visits on all 11,000 programs, training programs in the country, grad residencies and fellowships, but Now, through the end of this year, we're doing virtual site visits, which really are very satisfactory and serve the same function, although we still like the personal touch.
Well, sounds like a natural process for you, going from an educator along your path and program director, and now, in a sense, helping other programs with what you've gleaned and learned over the years. So,
well, that's very true.
That's great. I know one of the things with graduate medical education is an increased emphasis on the well-being of folks training in programs, resident and fellow well-being. There seems to be more attentiveness to this. And so you're exposed to this, I would imagine, and I'm wondering what programs are doing in this realm now that the requirements have been clearly articulated. What are programs doing in response to this?
Well, this has been something actually that programs have been aware of for the last probably 5 years, but it was only in July of 2019 that there were requirements, specifically requirements that they had to follow through, before, we were just finding out what they were doing, and they're doing a variety of things, but to satisfy the requirements. But so now they are requirements, and actually, those requirements related to well-being take on a special significance in the COVID era, as we might call it, because the ACGME is still very concerned in maintaining the well-being of the residents and fellows who are working in the COVID environment. And so those are things that we are watching, specifically related to the satisfaction of those.
The threats have certainly increased to well-being. That was already difficult enough.
It is. It is. You know, it started years ago in the early part of this century with the duty hour requirements. And then that is really pretty well satisfied. But there are some issues that still do come up. And so it's a different environment that our residents and fellows work in today than it was 20 or 30 years ago. There are more pressures. It's a different generation. We want to take care of the next generation of physicians. They're going to be caring for your children and your grandchildren and mine as well.
It is a different generation. And although we've satisfied duty hours and done things to advance well-being, are we really making progress, or is it just the context is different? I mean, what's going on?
No, there is distinct progress and really innovation, because each of the sponsoring institutions and programs, individual programs, are doing some very innovative things within the environment in which they work. From a sponsoring institution standpoint, there are programs and lectures. There's a wellness officer, typically, of the institution, just as there's an officer for quality control and those sorts of things. And within departments, particularly larger departments, there are some real innovative activities that are going on to maintain that well-balanced and healthy workforce that is so important to the changing needs of the millennials as they begin their career in medicine.
Now, I know you have kind of an insider's view in many ways, looking at these innovative things, and yet you, I know, have presented also about some gaps or maybe some opportunities to do even more, especially around the issue of moral stressors, moral distress, moral injury. You see some room for growth there.
You bet. You know, the thing is, we hear a lot about burnout, depression, even suicide, which I think medicine in general, but particularly graduate medical education and the realm in which the ACGME works, is something that we're very, very concerned about. And along that regard, if you look at burnout, it's really related to stresses that many times are brought on physicians and residents and fellows as well, related to the demands that they have on them. You know, as a physician working within a system which most physicians now work in, there are demands, obviously, from their employer, from the department that they work in, from their superiors, just from the whole environment in which they work and the many pressures on them. But the most important thing is that there has been a compromise, I think, of the doctor-patient relationship. Because the doctors now they have to document everything on the computer, and they're looking at the computer. They're not looking at the patient. They're certainly listening to the patient, or certainly trying to, but they're trying to multitask in a way that is really compromising the doctor-patient relationship. And there's a stretching of the abilities for the residents and the fellows and the physicians to be able to satisfy the reason that they really went into medicine, which was to care for people. So this causes a moral injury, and you're going to hear more about this kind of a thing. This moral injury is really the cause of burnout. And addressing that is, I think, something that's really important, because we want to educate a trainee to be a competent physician. How can we produce one who is reflective on their moral commitments and critically thinks about decisions made about patients? Hmm. To be treating the patient with the disease as opposed to the disease that happens to be residing in a patient, if you understand what I mean, putting the patient first. And if you can't put the patient first, this does cause a moral distress on physicians as well as the residents and the fellows, that they are not able to provide the kind of care that they know that they should provide that patient who is ill.
Yeah, so a lot of demand, competing demands that are distracting the resident or fellow or physician from attending to that patient.
That's correct.
And that creates a tension and a moral distress. I should be paying attention to my patient, but I've got all these other things to contend with at the same time.
Exactly, Steve.
You're describing a progression of medicine that has us in a place where how do we address that? Where do we go to restore that attentiveness to the doctor-patient relationship?
I think part of it is that we have to go back to where it used to be related to the doctor-patient relationship, and there needs to be a philosophy of medicine that the physician and the resident have, and they have to develop that in a way that is nurturing and supportive and encouraging. That's easier said than done, I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, a moral philosophy of medicine. And how is it that we create a moral or help shape a moral and reflective physician? Is that really a task that a residency can achieve? Is that realistic?
I think it's not unreasonable. And at the Medical College of Wisconsin, we are fashioning a course on the medical humanities that would be something that would be an elective that would be taken by upper-level residents and fellows to educate them in reading and non-medical literature and to help them develop a personal moral philosophy of medicine and the philosophy of medical practice. The idea would be to become a reflective clinician. And that's really what we want, because this reflective clinician is going to be thinking in terms of the patient and nurturing that patient, caring for that patient, which is really why all of us went into medicine.
Well, we know that we really need to drive home the point that the meaning, the calling, the purpose of why we do what we do. And so sometimes in this busy universe we live in, this busy world of medicine, we do not take the time nor the effort to reflect on what is it that really drives us, what is it that really gives us purpose and meaning and joy in practice. So I really appreciate it if you can help residency programs carve out that kind of a niche that says this is something that needs to be examined deeply.
We're doing this, myself and one of the bioethicists at the Medical College of Wisconsin and one of the associate program directors are putting together this course. We're going to be presenting this course at the annual education conference of the ACGME next year. We presented some of the basic things related to the moral injury, if you will, this last year at the conference. So we are sort of working towards that end and providing resources, hopefully being able to provide resources and raise interest in this. You know, the moral injury to physicians, particularly as it relates to COVID, is something that you are reading about in the everyday newspaper. You're hearing it actually on the news. Perhaps you've even read some things that come across the internet related to residents who are really revolting in the fact that they are not being able to provide the kind of things that they know that their patients need. And they are speaking out. You know, this generation of physicians are very vocal, much more so than they were when I was doing my training.
Well, some of that could be positive. You're asking people to be reflective and they're being expressive. That's for sure.
There is no question about it. there's a national strategy to protect clinicians' well-being. This is something that's not at a sponsoring institution level or at a program level, but there are national strategies by the Association of American Medical Colleges and, of course, the ACGME and the National Academy of Medicine. This is something that is, and there are national conferences that have been held. There are three that have already been held in previous years related to this. So you're going to be, we are all going to be hearing more about these very things, about the wellness of the physicians, which is something that is was unheard of when I was in training a long mm-hmm. time ago. And I'm not sure how long ago you were in training, but I know that my educators were not that interested in my well-being per se.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that we have upped our attention to it, and you're not only a site visitor, but you're also developing resources. So not only are you evaluating, but you're also helping programs to be exposed to some of the things that could help them satisfy the very requirements that you're monitoring or auditing them for. It's an interesting way that you're providing so much help, as well as just being the guy who shows up and evaluates them.
You know, that's exactly right, because now a site visit from the ACGME is really something that is meant to educate the program related to areas, and we give them feedback related to areas where they could maybe practice a little better or be a little bit more effective, and we share best practices with them at the end of the interview. These are received in a very positive way. So it's really an exciting element to my second career. People ask me if I miss surgery or if I miss patients, and I do miss the patients. I don't really miss the surgery because I'm intellectually stimulated in so many ways, and the Lord has blessed me with this second career opportunity that I have.
I'm glad you're having fun and extending your influence even past the operating room and into this next phase of providing resources and giving feedback and helping others to progress. And as we wind down this interview, as you've been talking, I've been trying to imagine what the physician of the future could look like. And if you could, for a moment, step into the future and say, this is the kind of doctor that I would like to see and that the ACGME would like to see and our patients would like to see, what would be some defining characteristics of that future reflective moral physician?
Well, you know, we want a physician who is going to be competent. That's number one. And of course, if you think in terms of the six competencies, the clinical skills, the medical knowledge, communication skills, practice-based learning, which, you know, is continuing medical education and having them have a knowledge of the system in which they practice, you come down to that one term, professionalism. And that's where all of the substance of what a reflective physician is, and I think a competent physician, because somebody who is professional brings all those elements together in a way that is going to be personally satisfying to them, but more importantly, satisfying to a patient who is looking to them for the medical needs that they have, and some many times other needs, emotional needs as well, and to be responsive and to be sensitive to the patients. So you want someone who is respectful, compassionate, and has integrity. And that's the kind of physician that most people think of today, particularly in dealing with this crisis, this ongoing crisis that we're dealing with, that we have right now. I think those are the kinds of things that are most important. It's a process, and we're continuing to improve it, and we get feedback from people, and the ACGME is very, very connected and is very sensitive to all of the feedback that they get. It's exciting to have a part in the next generation of physicians, and God has been good to me in that regard.
I applaud you, David, for investing in the way that you do, and of course for all you did as a practicing clinician, and now with your encore career, continuing to invest in the future of healthcare. So I applaud what you're doing, and Thanks so much for being a guest today on the Healthy Doctor Podcast. It's been a joy to host you.
It's been a pleasure, and I've really enjoyed getting to know you better and hopefully getting to know the audience a little bit better as well.
David got me thinking about the characteristics of the future physician or the physician we desire to be produced by residency and graduate medical programs, and so thankful that he's involved with this process and be able to give back in the way that he is. I think his thoughts about how is it that we help attend to the issue of moral distress, bring attention to it, bring it attention to the residency programs and the residents being educated. And how is it that we create a reflective physician, someone who cares most about the doctor-patient relationship? Certainly competent, but much more than technical competence, relational competence, integrity, and compassion. I'm not sure what your takeaway is, but there's plenty of food for thought for all of us in that conversation. At the CMDA Center for Well-Being, we help doctors and other healthcare professionals align with God, optimize well-being, and maximize influence. We offer professional coaching services to help you advance well-being, navigate transitions, or grow your leadership skills. We also host coach training events where you can learn to help people without giving them advice. For more information, visit cmda.org/well-being or email wellbeing@cmda.org. Thank you to Rusty, Scott, and Eric who helped make this podcast a reality. And thank you to you listeners for tuning in to this episode of The Healthy Doctor. If you like this podcast, please take time to leave a good rating. You might encourage someone else to subscribe. Tune in again next month, and until then, care for yourself as you care for others.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.